This week on RSVMB Update, Premier Club returns, bringing with it Premier Pass. Premier Pass's first adventure is Count Yakula's Yak Track. We run through Premier Pass and look at November's treasure hunt experiment. The future is now. Plus, thoughts on this week's live stream. This is RSVMB Update, episode 751, recorded Thursday, November 14th, 2019, Yakking About the Yak Track. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSVMB Update. Tanis and myself here for, you know, this is a bit of a monumental week. Premier Club's back. We're in the middle of November now.
Seems early, right?
Yeah, it does. It does. Huh. Yeah, I thought it normally would come out around Black Friday, but I guess the middle of November works, so that's fine. And, you know, as it has told, we do have some interesting things in this year's Premier Club that, you know, people were kind of doubting if it would actually appear, but lo and behold, it's actually in this year's Premier Club, and it speaks a lot towards the future, but we'll get to that in just a moment. We also got news about Linux client improvements, patch notes, and maybe some broken things in the game here and there, and then a recap of the monetization live stream from last week that was done in this week's live stream, and a look at 120 Herb lore, and then all the usual tech news and whatnot moving on, and then we'll just cap off the show with what we've been up to. But in the meantime, just a reminder, he's Tanis, I'm Shane 12088. If you want to talk to me in game, you can always chat with me. My friends chat is always on. I make it a point that, you know, I want to talk to our listeners and many people out there, I think, on the YouTubes and podcasters try and isolate themselves a bit and sell that access on Patreon, which is something I never wanted to do. So it's always here at RSVMB, we always keep access on full. So if you want to talk to any of us, yeah, just PM us in game or talk to us on Discord. Either works. RSVMB.com/Discord.
Yeah. Yeah. You can message me on Discord, because in all reality, I may not see your message if I'm in game.
Screen magnifier.
I'll see the. Yes, but remember, my field of vision is much, much smaller. So I'm only looking at my character. So if you want to get in contact, Discord is a great way. I have my notifications on, and it lets me know with a sound cue that I have something that I need to see.
All right, so Count Yakula's Yak Track.
Yak, yak, baby.
Yeah, we're yakking about nothing. But it's not actually nothing, so starting off, the Yak Track will arrive on November 25th, and this path will remain open to roamers until January 5th of 2020. And you're going to note that this is interesting here, and you're going to see what's going on when we mention Premier Club. So what exactly is the Yak Track? They say it's a set of new, fun, varied, and sometimes serious and often foolish tasks that take place all over Gilinor. And when you complete a new mission on your adventure, you'll unlock a new prize that you get to keep. The Yak Track is an excellent way to amass a brilliant bundle of goodies as you go about your business. And, you know, there's different tasks available. There's one for free, and there's the premium track as well. And what does this remind you of?
Rune Pass.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, but notice, like, instead of calling it Rune Pass, which was basically kind of lazy from the Fortnite Pass, right? Which was a battle pass. The Yak Pass is so RuneScape, right? Like, what's more RuneScape than a Yak?
Yeah, and you know, like, I think the Yak Track is the first one that they're going to be doing until January, and then the rest will fall under their Premier Pass bundle, which is included if you do buy this year's Premier Club.
Well, yeah, you can definitely tell that lessons were learned from Rune Pass, and I think this is a much better implication of it, and yeah, I'm pretty happy with this. It also looks like something that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. This is definitely kind of giving that a little more credence, just because we've been talking about this game going through this, it's not really the episodic content, but we're looking at holiday style, not holidays, but you know, that kind of style content, you know,
the live ops kind of events,
live ops. There you go. That's the word I was looking for. Live ops content like that. And this is a nice way of doing that, and it's a callback because this is the kind of stuff you can do with your friends. It gives you something to do in game other than the two things that we all do, which is boss and grind.
Yeah.
So you get a little bit something else to kind of do, which I think that's good, especially if we start to put more emphasis on our avatars and our unique looks and appearance and stuff. This will blend really nicely with that.
Yeah, and on the example given here for this first one, task A is woodcutting, oak and above, while task B is construction, willow and above. I'm not exactly sure how willow relates into construction, but nonetheless, with this, there's also premium rewards that you can unlock through each one of these. And we don't have a full picture yet of what all the rewards are going to look like through the entire year on this, but they did have a section here on the rewards in the news post. So everybody who completes the first task on the Yak Track will get the intimidating yet rather fetching Arcane Blood Mage outfit. The 15th tier, and everybody will unlock the Zombie Raze emote. And Premier Pass holders can look forward to grabbing the Abyssal Prowler pet. So here, once again, there's another reason why you would want to subscribe to Premier Pass. Premier Pass owners will obtain the somewhat sinister Witch's Doll pet at parts 25. Or are we calling these tiers or parts? I think tiers. Okay. And everyone who braves the trek all the way to the 50th and final tier will unlock the Dark Throne rest animation, while Premier Pass owners will receive a bounty of goodies, including the Zombie Yak Pet and the Menacing Raven outfit. There are different tracks for Premier Club members, RuneScape members, free-to-play players with a Premier Pass, and free-to-play players without a Premier Pass. So effectively what you got here is you got one tier for the Premier Club members, one tier for the RuneScape members, and one tier for free-to-play players who just want to play the content on their own, and free-to-play players who choose to buy a Premier Pass. And you know what this means? This means that this is potentially another way of monetizing free-to-play. And you recall we had the question a few weeks back about getting rid of subscriptions, right?
Yes.
What if RuneScape free-to-play was funded by this?
Well,
this is, a monetization mode for free-to-play. I don't think they'd be able to completely ditch subscriptions, but it's certainly an interesting idea.
Yeah, I don't know. They tried that. I mean, they did do that with Darkscape. Like, it had all of the content, and it was free. But see, it's hard to monetize a free-to-play audience because it's like free-to-play.
But hey, if there's cosmetics, you can monetize free-to-play because with this,
well, right?
Previously we only had two tiers of RuneScape membership, free and member. Then we had Premier Club thrown in, which for all years past, it was just a glorified way of buying your membership at 1 year.
Yeah, that's really
interval,
all it was, right?
But now, based on this, we're seeing four different tiers of RuneScape member with different value. You got the Premier Club, you got the RuneScape member, you got the free-to-play who buys the Premier Pass, and then you just got standard free-to-play.
Right, so I wonder where that line is going to – what the line will be in free-to-play.
Right, and so the question is going to be how many free-to-play players are going to pick up Premier Pass? Or are they just going
to
become a member?
Right, because they're going to have a whole other way of doing things on their tiers because of the unlocks and the levels that they can even get to, right?
Yeah.
So that throws a whole other
I feel like I need to see what the tasks are, you know, day to day, because the mock-up given here is good, but it doesn't really make sense with willow construction. And I mean, the woodcutting one is obviously you're going to cut oak logs and the like. And these are just little, you know, doodads you can go do in, you know, your day to day RuneScape playing. And if you can pick up a cosmetic along that, you're going to be looking swell, I think. And then there's a question, what if I'm unsure about Premier Pass? And they say, if you're on the free track, you can continue to enjoy the large number of free rewards as long as you upgrade to Premier Club before the end of the event. You'll also still receive all the premium track items you've unlocked along your journey. So you can complete this, but you don't need to necessarily buy it till the end. That's what that reads to me.
Yeah, sounds right.
And they say if you're a Premier Club member...
That's different. That's a different twist. Mm-hmm.
If you're a Premier Club member and you make your way along the whole track, you'll receive a whopping 33 cosmetics, including 4 pets, 3 outfits, 6 animation overrides, and 15 weapons. This is exactly what we talked about last week.
Yeah,
in terms of what you said, how RuneScape 3 is moving on to this era where, hey, you got this great game sitting here, but if you want to be able to customize your character to your heart's content, oh boy, that's what 2020 is going to be about, and here we are.
Well, that's great. I mean, I think that's great, because look at how we are anyway, in general. Fashionscape's always been a big... kind of big deal. Like, that's the first thing you do after you max. Maybe not you, Shane. but most people, they max, they spend like 3 hours just making up different outfits with their newly acquired cape that they can change the colors with. So, I mean, and that's just working with what we have, right? I mean, look at how much dyes are and stuff, just so that you can give yourself a little bit, you know, stand out kind of looks and stuff. So, I think this is good. I think this is a good way of doing MTX. Hopefully, other people will agree. This will definitely. I've been waiting year after year after year, and every year I say this might be the year that I do Premiere. This is definitely the year I'm doing Premiere. There's no doubt. Like, this is the year that I will be doing Premiere. And I'm glad that I waited. I'm glad it's going to be this year.
Yeah, and you know, I had an idea that we might be getting something like this coming, and that's why I thought that, hey, maybe this would be the time to pick up Premier Club on the Altskiller account with, you know, 120 farming and 120 Herblore arriving.
I want to so bad, but it's just too many irons in the fire. I can't.
Well,
I got to focus on the main for a while.
Right. And see, my benefit is that my main account is still on the $5 grandfathered plan.
Right, yeah.
So it's not worth picking up Premier Club on that one, because it takes my membership price from $5 to $8 a month, whereas with this, I could just buy Premier Pass on my own.
You know, it turns out, I thought I was on that as well, and then I ended up looking at my account stuff just the other day, and apparently... it's not. It's on like the $7 or $8 one or whatever. So I was like, "Huh? Well,
this averages out.
Premier is an option.
This year's Premier Club averages out to $8 a month.
Yeah, so I mean, that's actually right on par. So like, I totally could do it and not feel like I had missed out or anything.
Yeah, and you know, they say if you're not a Premier Club member, you can either grab yourself a Premier Pass for 2 bonds, or instead enjoy all the items available on the free track. All players who want to progress faster along the track will also be able to buy task skips in packs of 4 for 1 bond or packs of 10 for 2 bonds. So,
You're picking up tasks with bonds?
No. You'd be able to skip the Premier Pass tasks with bonds if you wanted to.
Oh, I got you.
So you could skip to the end.
You go through the tiers of stuff as you're working.
Right.
Okay.
But if you wanted to skip a task, you could. And you could get this all on day one if you wanted to pay for it.
See, I really like this. Please tell me people are happy about this, right? I mean,
I don't know. I haven't looked into the community reaction of it, and this is something I'm definitely happy about.
Yeah,
and granted, yes, this is going to be for each Premier Pass, it's going to be two bonds. But I mean, you could make that money in game if you want to, right?
Yeah, no, I don't have a problem with anything that has to do with the bonds. I think the bonds was like the absolute best use of it. It was just brilliant. I mean, bonds was brilliant. You got to give that to Jagex. I mean, to kill gold farmers and be able to do a productive microtransaction type of thing that works for everyone. Yeah, no, I'm cool with how you're using bonds. Like, that system works, and yeah, I'm glad that it's really just been expanded over this year. If anything.
You can also buy the Premier Club for 20 bonds. So if you're going to go down the Premier Pass each month it's available, you're probably better off just getting Premier Club.
20 bonds? Dude, you know that's like super easy. Like once someone – like the way this game works, it's really weird. But the way this game works is once you have a bill in GP, you never want for money ever again. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to do shit, dude. You buy an item, you sell an item. Like, that is it. So 20 yeah. bonds for people that have that kind of money, it's nothing. They're playing for free. That's beautiful.
Yeah. And we're heading into Premier Club territory right now, so I think we can talk about that. But overall, I mean, Premier Pass, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm this is what we've advocated for. I'm glad to see it happening. And I hope that it gets the reaction that I think it deserves because, like, this is where the rubber meets the road, people, okay? It's one thing to bitch and bitch and bitch. And when you actually do start to get some results, that's when you have to show that you were serious and that. Okay, they moved. It's time for us to move.
Yeah.
Like, we have to buy into this, or what kind of message does that send? You know what I mean? Like, we can say whatever we want, but at the end of the day, what was the profit this month? Or what you know what I mean? Like, what did they bring in? And if they're bringing in less, then this isn't going to work. So, let's make sure it works.
Yeah. And the question at the end, what about Treasure Hunter? Alice has booked some holiday time and is going to head off on a trek of her own once Yak Track begins. So we're
Lesson
trying
learned.
Something a bit different while she's away.
Lesson learned!
And you know what they're doing while she's away? ModJD posted a screenshot of what's going to happen with this on the Reddit thread. And when Alice is away, Treasure Hunter is going to be renamed to Gone Yak Tracking. And whenever you open it up, you're going to get a picture of the 10 next prizes that you can claim. It's still going to be random, but you're going to be able to see all of them at the start. But you know what? If you don't like any of those prizes, you can re-roll all 10 of them for 750 oddments.
So this is the point where we need to tell people, take yes for an answer, right? We won. This is what winning looks like. This is what changing Treasure Hunter looks like. Look, we said one of the problems with Rune Pass was running Treasure Hunter at the same time. We understand that you can't just turn it off, but it gave a bad perception. So they corrected that. This is more than I ever
yeah.
expected.
And, you know, there's two very key ways you can engineer a victory out of this if you're Jagex. Number one, whoever came up with this news post was a genius because not once does it mention Rune Pass. Because as we all know, Rune Pass had a negative stigma.
Right.
And number two is that at the end of the month, when you total up all of the changes for the new Treasure Hunter experiment that they're doing, the new Rune Pass that they're going to be redeeming in with bonds. Hopefully they count that as sorry, Premier Pass purchases and not bond purchases, because these bonds could have been in game and in the system for months beforehand. So hopefully when they see all these rune pass, sorry, I can't keep calling it that. Slap me if I do that at it. If they see all these Premier Passes being redeemed and they see an increase on this Treasure Hunter, that's a victory.
Oh, it's a victory for the players too.
I think it would be wise internally to also track the number of Premier Club purchases, compare this year's with last year, and if this year's are substantially up, I think it would be a smart idea to tie that into the changes with Premier Pass.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
And, you know, we say this all the time. You know, you can say things and you can say things, but if you don't act, people aren't going to believe you. But if you act, as we see today, in terms of YakTrak, Premier Pass, and the Premier Club, and this little nugget that JD posted regarding Treasure Hunter, combine that with some rather elegant framing and maybe some rejiggering of the way microtransaction numbers are posted at the end of this, you can effectively come back after the holidays and do a victory lap.
Well, yeah. And, you know, it almost... Look, I understand why people had the sentiment that they did, right? Because microtransactions have never been popular since they came into game. It's something that people have railed against forever. And then when things have went wrong, we've gotten lip service, but we haven't gotten a lot of fixes, right? There hasn't been a lot of follow-through or action until now. I almost feel like Jagex didn't know the best way to deal with monetization.
Right, and they said on the live stream last week, Mod Mike said that, you know, they were looking at doing some of these kind of things before Mod Warden arrived. Right. But Mod Warden said he can set fires under people to make certain things happen. And with Mod Warden's expertise, as we talked about before, both working on Overwatch and, of course, also working with Fortnite, you see the results of that here.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't forget this little tidbit. We're not going to, we're not sacrificing probably story in any of that, because he's involved in Mass Effect 2, which is beloved by PC gamers everywhere. Well, I guess, is it on console too? Yeah, probably. I don't know. Everyone loves Mass Effect, right?
So yeah,
we're not going to lose story out of it either.
And Mod Osborne is in charge of story and episodic content. Oh, where yeah. Mod Mike so is in charge of what we're seeing here today.
Right, and you know, we'll have more. So we'll have more sacrifice on Mod Mike later. But yeah. I'm. You know, they said last week they wanted to focus on action, was that the first live stream? That was the good part of the first live stream.
Action.
When they were talking about action, and we're seeing that. Like, I do feel like maybe it's not the first time, but this time feels different. This time we're seeing results, and we're seeing them faster. You know, we didn't have to wait a month or 2 months down the road. We're seeing it within weeks. And
less than 2 weeks, you'll be able to activate YakTrak.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that's really important. If nothing else, it shows that they're trying. I mean, I think that's where the disconnect came, a little bit earlier this year, because it felt
everything
like
everything felt empty.
Yes, and it didn't feel like we were. I know they were trying, but it felt like they weren't for us. You know what I mean? Like it, because we kept saying, "But what about this?" or "We need this," and we weren't. You know, we just weren't getting anywhere, and I'm sure more. We'll find out more about how that all went down, at some other time. But this is nice. This starts to get us on the right track going into the new year. We're going to have new, you know, this will get, hopefully this will help set the stage for future microtransaction changes. We're going to have the new content. And so we're hopefully going into a new year on a real high note. At least we're building the stage for that, right?
Yeah, I'm setting the table.
Yeah, setting the table. There you go.
Yeah. And to come along with this, Premier Club, available from today, November 14th. And it's the same price as last year. It averages out around, for me, Canadian, to be about $8 a month. I'm not sure what the U.S. price. I think it was $89 for the U.S. price or something to that effect, right?
$8 Canadian. What is that, like? Three beaver pelts?
No,
and,
no.
A couple, oh, no?
No, it was okay. It's $95.99 Canadian or $96. So just rounding that up, that's $8 Canadian per month. And I think it was $90 for you guys. So yeah, it's $7.50 for the Americans.
Hey.
So as I always say, if you're paying more than $7.50 per month for RuneScape membership, this is a good deal for you.
Yeah.
This time you get 50 extra bank spaces, one free boss instance per week, access to the Premier Vault, 6,000 oddments, 150,000 loyalty points, as well as a little dinosaur pet, which of course, is built on bones, which heavily links into archaeology, I would imagine.
Oh, that's very cool. And yes, that's okay.
What's okay?
No, the pet and everything.
Oh, okay.
I had a thought and it was fleeting.
All right, fine.
It ran away.
you also get the Bright Inquisitor armor, the Premier artifact, and of course Premier Pass.
Right on.
So, you know, we already talked about Premier Pass a lot on this, and you know, I think the important thing to note is that yeah. They say Premier Pass is going to be part of Premier Club. But you'll note that Yak Track only runs from November 25th until January 5th. So you know what that means? Yeah. After that, there's going to be another one for a month.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's going to be one for each month. Kind of the same way that the Twitch Prime rewards work when games choose to give them out.
Yeah. Well, and notice what isn't a part of the Premier Club this year. There's no Auras.
Yes.
I think that's good.
Yes.
Getting away from that is another thing that.
Well, you
is
know
good
why there's
because,
no Auras, right?
Well, because we need to get away from offering them in Premier Club anyway. And they need to. They're trying to figure out ways of bringing the ones
bringing
in game.
In, into game. So.
Yeah, so. But I noticed that. That was something I thought. I just think it's important to like acknowledge the things that we have advocated for and they're actually doing. You know what I mean? Like, there's always plenty of stuff that we can spotlight and call out and say this could be better. But when you're getting it right, you gotta acknowledge that too.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know. It goes without saying that my membership price is still grandfathered in at $5 a month. And for that sole reason, so many years in the past, I've felt that you know, there's no point for me to get Premier Club because it's an extra, you know, an extra, what, $24 a year that I'd need to pay for RS. And previously, the value just wasn't there.
Well, and it hits during... I mean, for me, it seems to hit during Christmas time, too, which is always tight when you got kids and stuff. So, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's harder, like, even though, like, a lot of times you can save money by doing Premier, sometimes it's just easier to pay the $8 a month, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we can say for certainty that most of the Premier Club pricing. It normally sticks around till what? The first week of January, I think, something to that effect.
Yeah, I think so, which is when I'll be getting it this year.
Right.
You can't mess with Christmas.
Yeah.
Santa will come, and he will have a bag full of gifts.
And, you know, as we mentioned, 20 bonds.
Yeah, which really, like I'm saying, that's not much for somebody that has RS money. I mean, I'm telling you, once you get rich in this game, you can't not be rich. Like, you have to start other accounts just to
hide hold your money.
Yeah. It's never happened for me.
No, it's never happened for me either.
But I know people.
All right. Well then, so I think with that being said, we can move on, and I'll be, you know, seriously looking at whether I should get this for my alt skiller account, because I did want to do some with the new 120 farming and Herblore stuff. So,
yeah, boy, if I had more hours in a day, I would probably definitely get it for the alt, because honestly, I mean, you pay about $30 for the alt for like the 3 month deal, and this would be so much better, because I've already done that twice this year, which would have taken me over halfway there already.
And I did that summer special wise with bonds, so that one. But all right, so let's get into the news post of the week. And you know, this week's news post had a really, really odd title, and I'm wondering what the percentage of players affected by this would be. This week they called it the Linux Client Improvements Week for Linux in particular, that the Linux client is now being built against Ubuntu 18.04 and might not work on older distributions. So for anybody wondering what that means, Ubuntu is a Linux-based operating system that people download and use for free, and 18.04 refers to the year 2018 release in the month of April, and it might not work on older releases. So for people who are using older versions of Linux, you might need to make some updates on this, because it's very common in the Linux community for people to install what's called a long-term support version of the operating system and not update it for years on end. I think the last long-term support was back in somewhere around 2017. So
this is for people that play on their virtual machines.
No, people play on Linux on their actual desktops. They don't use virtual machines for this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's the only time I've ever seen anyone use Linux with like virtual.
Oh no! Virtual machine running. It's used to run the RSBNB web server amongst many other web servers on the internet. I know. On my own hand, I can count people who use various forms of Linux for software development work.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. So, and some people just use it when they don't want to have Windows, and they don't need to play games, and they don't want to necessarily buy a Mac. They just want an operating system that's not Windows, because, you know, this is getting a bit into tech news territory, but Linux over the past number of years has actually gotten a lot more user-friendly than it used to be, to the point where you can just pop it in and you have everything that you need ready to go. Previously, you used to have oddities like Adobe Flash not working, but in reality, what website still uses Adobe Flash on the internet, right?
Right. Well, I mean, Linux to me was always like the super, super tech hobbyist type.
Yeah, and it still can be if you want.
Okay.
So in general, the Linux people for this time with this week's update get game optimizations, fixed an issue with audio crackling, potential crashes on startup being fixed, they had an incorrect icon on the game window, and fixed an issue where the launcher window would not disappear once the game had started. And, you know, Linux had always been really rough on RS had been always really rough on Linux, and it used to be really rough on Mac OS back in the day as well. It's improved quite a bit since then. But the real story with this week's update is the fact there's a known issues segment at the bottom of the post here that says, with today's changes, we're also aware of some issues that have come with this, and they are that minimap assets can take longer to load than expected. There's a chance to crash when switching between mobile detail options on the phone, of course. A game may hang when Wi-Fi gets disconnected once again another mobile thing. There's a possible crash on some devices on first boot up. And here's the biggest one affecting everybody, all clients, is that during the Vindicta boss, Vindicta and Gorvik's Dragon Firewall will flicker but still cause damage. And finally, the game can potentially crash if you're running on a Mac with macOS Mojave 10.14.1.
You know, that's bad. Oh, well, no, I guess it's Vindicta. That would have been worse if it was Hellware.
Yeah. I mean, Vindicta's the easiest one. But.
Well, but did you know, Shane, because of the herbs right now, you get an herb drop at Hellware, it's about a mil. That's not uncommon.
Oh.
Actually really decent money.
Oh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We'll talk about why that is. We'll talk about why that is in just a little bit.
Yeah.
So the question has been, you know, why do you ship an update like this with all these regressions built in where, you know, there's known potential crashes? On the mobile side in particular, with mobile detail options and the game being able to hang on Wi-Fi and some devices on first boot up, to me, they would say that, okay, we can get away with this because our Android mobile experience is in beta currently and it's early access, and we make that caveat clear, that at least the Play Store makes it clear when you choose to download the beta software. So I think that's why they can explain away those three. I don't personally see the minimap assets as a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I use my minimap to navigate a lot.
Okay.
But,
I didn't personally notice anything taking longer than expected on the minimap.
Right, okay.
Now, things get hairy when you start talking about Vindicta and boss fights being broken, and I would hope that this gets fixed next Monday.
I would think.
Because, you know, you want to effectively at this point, with everything you do, be putting out this first-class experience for people on the desktop right now, because your client that you're iterating on right now is mobile, which is fine. I mean, everybody does that. Everyone has early access betas. But there's always a good question about breaking, how much breaking of things is too much in terms of shipping an update. So one thing I would be interested to know is, what was the discussion that went on internally that determined that it was okay to ship this?
Yeah, there has to be some kind of like a cost-benefit analysis to that, right?
Right.
I mean, it's got to be like, okay, we know these things are going to break, but we're confident that we can fix them the following week, and the improvements that we're trying to make to the engine are of utmost importance. Yeah. Going forward, maybe?
And
like, that's the only
thing
I can
think of. You can justify
the
Vindicta one by saying how many people on average daily fight Vindicta. And if it's less than
if it's less than
10% of your player base, then that's an easy choice to make.
I mean, it might be less than 10%, but that is a really popular boss, or it used to be. I don't know if it still is, but for a long, long time, that was king. That was king of the God Wars 2, because it had the best. You know, the lance was worth more than anything else,
yeah.
Really. So that's what people did. You're playing with fire when you mess with,
literally,
with PVM. Yeah. Right, yeah. No, could you imagine if I went down there? I had a hard enough time with that to begin with. Now I'll let it flicker and disappear.
Yeah.
Oops.
And same thing with the macOS crash. How many of your users are on macOS? And let alone with that, how many of them are on macOS Mojave?
Right. Yeah.
So, those would be the decisions made internally in determining whether or not that gets shipped. And I think moving through this, you can say that, with the exception of the Vindicta one, maybe it's going to affect a very small number of users out there.
Yeah, and I think so. I see why they would have told people about the known issues, like, because it would have been like, hey, look, we know these things are happening. They're on our radar. We're going to fix it. So that's good. But at the same time, we don't always have the most understanding player base. So they might, you know, some people might see that and be like, well, why would you ship something if you know it's broken?
Yeah.
And so there's, yeah. You know, like, and, it cuts, and I mean, in
terms of that, I want to say it's short-sighted, but players might not know better. But there is, there are analytical practices that can be done internally to determine the true impact of this. And it's just a question of how big that impact is. And maybe when regressions are shipped like this in the future, including some percentage of players that would be impacted, this is why we made this decision, would help.
Well, and doesn't it also have to do with the timing and when something needs to come in? Like, we don't know all of the intricacies that could be coming in over the next couple months. Right. So these fixes may have needed to be in place for that.
The biggest thing I can think of is the change to smooth player movement with all these engine changes.
And
you got to put those in first and make sure they're working. Then you can bring in the smooth player movement.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And, you know, looking at that, that would explain a lot of the engine changes we've seen recently. And and the decision to sunset Java by the end of the year. Two things before we move on to patch notes with this. If you have Twitch Prime, you can get 14 days of free membership.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm just throwing that out there. And for those who watch the RuneFest live stream, there's a survey that you can fill out to say how your RuneFest at home experience was. So all that is linked in the news post on runescape.com under the headline of Linux Client Improvements. All right, so let's move on to the patch notes for this week. So this week's patch notes are relatively thin, but there's some definite important ones in here that I want to bring up. So we're going to just start off at the top with a general patch note. So first and foremost, the pink and rainbow unicorn plushies will now be reclaimable from Diango if destroyed. I had no idea there were pink and rainbow unicorn plushies in game.
I don't either, but I'd hate to lose something and not be able to like reclaim it. So yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Disabling guidance system hints, which can be found at Gameplay, General, Optional Interfaces in the Settings menu, now prevents automatically selecting the next available achievement in a path if no path is selected and the activity tracker is empty. You'll no longer be awarded compact hides when skinning dinosaurs in Big Game Hunter if your base camp storehouse has maxed its hide capacity. Yes. Recall I said something about this last week. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you're at capacity last week and the week before that, and pretty much every week since Anachronia came out, you would still get hide drops from the Big Game Hunter dinosaurs that they'd want to put into your base camp coffers, but you wouldn't be able to put them in because you're already at the max of 250K. So this is good because this was an annoying drop to get from Big Game Hunter.
Okay.
Added a list to the revenge achievements so that players can more easily track what monsters they have to kill. And see, this is the thing. When you deal with these kind of achievement tasks like this, you definitely want to be able to see your progress along the way. And this is what the achievement rework was supposed to bring forward. And it's nice to see that these little oddball ones where there's a huge list of requirements to them are being filtered out.
Yeah, your favorite update of 2016,
I think something
somewhere
like
around
that.
There.
Yeah. Replace some items dropped by creatures within the God Wars dungeon with salvage. That's interesting.
Oh,
this is God Wars dungeon, not God Wars dungeon 2.
But still, that's better. Like, wait, creatures or bosses?
I don't know. I don't know who this is. But, I mean,
because Bandos used to drop ore, right? That was one of the better drops was ore, so that would have went to stone spirits.
Let's see. So, let's see. General Gradar. That's the one we're all probably thinking about, right?
That's the one I'm thinking about.
All right. Let's see. RuneScape Wiki's patch highlights on this are really good. They highlight changes to the patch notes. No, there's nothing on here regarding this. He did drop salvage beforehand, so I'm assuming this is related to some of the other things probably out there, like spiritual mages and avian seas and the like, maybe.
Oh, because the spiritual, yeah, they used to drop a lot of rune items and rune halberds, particularly.
Yeah.
So maybe those hadn't been switched yet to the good stuff, you think?
Yeah, that could be it. But, I mean, we don't know which they are, so...
Yeah.
And I'm not a frequent connoisseur of God Wars Dungeon 1, so I really can't provide information on that. Added a daily pop-up for the Java client to inform about the Java client no longer being supported. Good. Smooth the appearance of how objects fade out of view when at the far edge of the view distance or close to the camera. And it kind of effectively, previously, you would kind of clip into it and it would just disappear. Now it fades out nicely with, I guess you could call it, kind of just a fade with a bit of a particle effect to it, I think. Maybe. At least that's why I was seeing it on my Mac client. It might be different on Windows. I didn't have a chance to try it on a Windows system. So, but, you know, this is another of these little under the hood kind of engine fixes to just kind of make the game feel a bit more modern.
Yep.
Right clicking while dragging will no longer cancel the drag with an NXT client. Fixed a bug preventing the uncompressed textures option from being available if too many other GPU-heavy programs were running. Interesting. And the reason that this would actually become a problem is that uncompressed textures means that your graphics card is going to need to use more of its video card memory for RuneScape, which, if you had other GPU-heavy programs running, might become an issue. And I don't know. One question I always have with this option is, what areas of the game contain uncompressed textures that benefit from this option? I know it's certainly not Prif. I don't know where else it might be. So. But I always keep it on uncompressed just because I have all the VRAM, so why not? FPF drops when scrolling through the bank on mobile devices has been fixed. This has been something that's been around for a while. Fixed a crash on macOS Mojave. Fixed a crash on Pixel devices. Of course, that means the Pixel phone. Fixed a crash that occurred if the active audio device was disabled or disconnected. And clipping through objects is also now smoother.
Oh, that's good. The audio device, dude, that was a pain.
Oh?
That was an absolute pain. Yes.
Okay.
That's good.
What was your experience with that one?
So if I had switched from my headphones to my speakers, but my RuneScape client was already up, I wouldn't have any sound. And I'd literally have to close it all down and reboot it for it to pick up the sound on the application that I wanted.
Oh, wow. I can just toggle between devices and it changes without question.
Well, that's how I always used to be able to do it, but for whatever reason, for a while there, I couldn't. So, no, that's cool.
All right. It
would crash. It would crash.
Okay.
Crash your thing. Dude,
so, like so this is you then.
Yeah. No, that's me.
Okay. Yeah. For the mobile client, added the same gold circle outline that exists for the prayer globe to the summoning globe on the combat HUD on mobile. The drag and drop areas that are part of the backpack interface on mobile have been improved for user accuracy, and this is something that Earth talked about when he was on talking about the mobile beta back when it was first come out. So, see, it just takes time, but you got to iterate on these things. It takes time. And finally, what are probably the last patch notes ever for the Java client, fixed an issue where player appearance would cause a crash and tidied up some legacy code on back-end systems.
Oh, okay.
That's probably the last patch note we'll ever see for the Java client in this game.
I'm just going to assume there's a reason for that, since
I don't know. I mean, maybe maybe there was a reason to just kind of do that last minute tidy up before this thing moves on.
Yeah, but, it must be.
I mean, what a patch note to end the Java client with, right? If this is indeed the last one.
Yeah, sure.
We're going to fix a crash, but we'll just tidy up some of the code on the back end to make it work. So then a bunch of typos were changed. And then, of course, at the end of the patch notes, we have the known client issues segment, which we already talked about. So there's your patch notes for the week. I think it's a good batch this week. And looking into them, you can kind of see that things are happening under the hood for what I can only assume is the smooth movement release coming soon. So you ready to move on to the live stream for the week?
Let's move on to the live stream.
This was a good one, wasn't it?
Oh, finally, man. Finally. Like, what a contrast. What a difference a week can make, right? Holy cow.
Yeah, so...
Yes, this was live stream done right.
So sure. So sitting in on this live stream at the start was Mod JD, Mod Porky hosting, Mod Mike, which they clarified his name was Mike, Mod Mike, M-I-C, and of course Mod Osborne here. And they wanted to do a follow-up on the live Q&A they did on monetization from the week before. Which was smart, based on what we had to say and, you know, some of the things that were cropping up along the way. It kind of makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
So, I don't know. Mod Mike felt like an entirely different person this week, didn't he? He felt like...
He did.
He felt like he was... I don't know how to describe it. It just felt different, but different in a good way.
Well, one, it looked like he had been... He was better prepared, number one. Number two, I got to give him credit because he didn't do that well that first time around. And he caught a lot of criticism for it from many different places, including us. But I got to hand it to somebody that puts their nose down and gets right back to the... you know, to the grind. And
especially when you're a department head of one of the most controversial aspects of your game.
Yeah, no, I mean, I got to give him credit for that. And I got to say the guy's got heart because he showed back up and not just showed back up, but actually did a better job and fixed the problems that were present the first time around. So, I mean, he gained some respect in my book for that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And he addressed the two biggest concerns that players had following his performance from last time, in particular about RuneScape being a drab place without cosmetics. And he said cosmetics are a really important part of the game, and he would like to see more cosmetics in-game, either through Treasure Hunter or Solomon's General Store, and the question about a cosmetics-free world isn't being talked about currently, and he didn't mean this for players to take RuneScape as being drab.
Well, and see, that is what is so weird about this transformation, is like, it felt so uninspired the first time around, you know what I mean? Like, it was out of touch. Like, completely, it felt like he was completely out of touch. Like what you would see with, you know, like some elite politician trying to tell you that, oh, well, I mean, just get a $400 haircut. What's the big deal? You know, like, it felt like really out of touch like that, right?
Yeah.
This week, it was like, he got it. Like, he was in touch with what people had been. It was real. That was like a really odd transformation, I thought. Like, I'm glad, very happy about it, but, you know, it was like, I don't know, it almost makes you go, well, what was going on the first time around? Like, what was, you know, like,
yeah. Then he addressed the question, are we milking our players? He said that he should have been very careful with that first word, because the first word that came out of his mouth was yeah.
Yeah,
And then he said exactly what we said, that saying we're not as bad as other companies is a bad way of putting it.
Yes.
And he would like the company to take a more responsible position and be a leader, keeping in line with UKEE, which is effectively the organization that outlines policies on loot crates and gaming and other matters pertaining to chance-based games online, is something that Jagex is interacting with. And he wants the company to be a corporate leader in that regard.
See, that's the right way to answer that. The way the week before was just, it was not good. But like, by the time they were done, you know, 10 minutes into the answer, I think he was kind of roundabout getting to what he said this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's all you need to say is,
and,
like,
and see,
we are working.
And see, that's what we said about last week's live stream, is that all the answers to that live stream were there. They were just put in various different parts of it, and it needed to be, you know, effectively a succession of five or so points, being a sledgehammer breaking down a wall. Mm-hmm.
Well, because as a listener, you had to listen to it critically, like you're listening to a lecture or something, to get the information that you needed. And most people, that's not how they listen to a live stream. So this week was a much better job at putting that on the front end of things, and then you have space to elaborate later, but get your point out first. And the point is, you want to be an industry leader. The point is, you are the only company that showed up to Parliament, and that you're working with them because you want to be an industry leader. When you say that, you don't have to say all the other stuff because it's implied, right? You don't have to say, EA is evil and they're just the most evil. Yeah, we know that, and it's implied because you're saying that you want to be an industry leader. I mean,
yeah. And, more people need to see that. And I think in terms of what was released this week, that's good. This week was a good format on that. They even had Maud Osborne there. And, you know, he was there to talk about the lack of content over the last weeks and months. And in particular, he agreed with the player sentiment and matched their concern with the fact that there wasn't content out over the last weeks and month, and there was no plan B. For the summer, weapon diversity was planned and canceled. The comp rework ultimately became a smaller update because they spent more time working on the pre-side of it rather than doing something big and massive like the large comp cape update that was planned. The bank rework became bigger, and he used the term bank rework there. So
yeah,
we've been saying all along, use the term bank rework.
Yes, because that's what it is. I've been saying since day one, that's what people thought about their bank rework as the placeholder thing. Like that, if they got that, they would consider it a bank rework. You know, I've heard a couple people, but only a few, say, well, we didn't get the meta searching. All right, whatever. Still, we got a bank rework. My view.
There was a quest that was supposed to be delayed. He had no contingency updates, and every update they were working on, including 120 farming and 120 herbal or ranch at a time, all became bigger. And we said this. The team almost went back to expansions.
Right. But think about this, too, okay? So now we know some of the reasons, but in mid to late summer, we did not know any of this. All we knew is we kept getting these OP treasure hunter promotions, we were getting nerfs, and we weren't getting any content. And we had none of the other information. We did not know about 120 farming or herblore. We didn't know about Anachronia or archaeology, I mean. We didn't know those things. So for a player, you're sitting there really in the dark and going, what's going on? You know, like Jagex knew all this stuff, but we didn't. So, I mean, I think you can see how this would happen. Like, you could see how people would have that perception. And I think what this shows, it was something that I thought about, is, you know, we've always said on this show that we would much rather have an update either delayed or canceled altogether than to get a bad one. And so they were doing that, but there was no backup.
Yeah.
There was, you know, and so like, it's
kind of hard to produce. And it is hard to produce these unless you're structured to do that. And this goes into what he said next. Their goal is to get Cadence back, and he's going to have seats producing content every few months.
See, and I think that's going to be key because, like I said, you kind of get into this catch-22 position where you know an update isn't right. It needs to be either delayed or canceled. But if you do, then you're not putting out content, which is bad. So it's like you're left with kind of two bad choices, right? I mean, but you have to. You can't let an update. Like, players don't want a broken update. Like,
yeah.
So you have to stop it or delay it. So I'm hoping that these seats will be the solution. Because I wasn't even sure that they knew the problem, you know?
Well, I mean, to be perfectly honest. It's quite clear that they do know what the problem is.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I thought this was like – well, there's been a few of these streams this year where you're like, why didn't you guys just tell us to stop, you know? Because it makes a huge difference. Knowing that they're trying to put teams together so that they can at least fill in the gaps when gaps appear, that's good. You know, that's good. I mean, I'm really pleased with what came out this week.
Yeah. And he said they have their quest seat that was talked about at RuneFest. They have the remaster seat being led by Mod Timbo. And a new one he's added is the Epic Jam seat to ensure the content talked about in the Epic Jam will be released and worked on.
See, and I was so worried that remasters were going to fall by the wayside after they had been talked about. And, you know, and I wrote about them thinking that I really think remasters are going to be crucial to the going forward.
Informer.rsbnb.com for anyone who wants to read that.
Well, just it's a way of rebuilding the game without rebuilding the game.
Yeah.
And it's making everything modern. And I was really worried that they were going to suffer. Like, we wouldn't get as much of those. But now, knowing that, I mean, it's got a dedicated seat and it's Mod Timbo, that's good.
Yeah.
Like,
PVM Hub will be the first one done for Epic Jam. And he said the point of doing this with teams is that they'll be protected and won't have their resources stolen. So these are dedicated tracks of content going forward. And he said the two big gobstoppers that stopped, and this is exact words, the two big gobstoppers that stopped us from doing things, well, these big updates that were coming out were farming and herblore as well as archaeology, because they all became bigger.
Yeah. And all of those no one knew anything about.
Yeah.
I mean, whatsoever. In fact.
And you know, that's the expansion feel right there.
It was. Actually, I would venture to say, are those three things together more of an expansion than what the so-called expansion was? I mean, really? It's a lot of content.
Yeah, except it's in over 6 months instead of 3 months. So,
well, yeah, I guess that's true.
And the first piece of new content we should see from the seat teams is by February, because they're getting spun up now. So, in general, 2 months to make the content, and out it goes.
Yeah, well, it looks like we're going to have a packed first part of the year.
Yeah.
If everything goes according to schedule.
Alrighty then. After this, it was a focus back to monetization going forward, in particular things that will happen the quickest, including the Premier Pass blog post, which we've talked about. We'll focus on cosmetics, since that's what players want. And they said at the time, they're sharing some of the work to move away from Treasure Hunter at loot crates. And it's a really important thing going into next year. And in particular, they want to ask, how can Jagex be more transparent? How can RNG be reduced? And how can players have choice over the rewards that they want? And we talked about all of those earlier in the podcast.
Yep.
And the first experiment will be out at the end of the month with Premiere Pass. December will be the Advent calendar. And in January, they'll have more different experiments. And the goal is to find a suitable alternative to the Treasure Hunter loot crates.
Yeah. Now, when they said the Advent calendar, that is only in regards to MTX, right? Like, that didn't mean that we weren't getting a Christmas event, did it?
No, I assume we're getting a Christmas event.
Okay, that's the only part that worried me with that. I was like,
And in terms of increasing value to players, this was one section that tied all the T's together. Cadence of content, Premier Club, Treasure Hunter, a bit of a focus on seasonal and holiday events. With the second half of 2020 aiming to have the currency store reworked.
I want to know what the cadence of updates means. Like, what does that look like? Is it a couple small ones and a bigger one in a month? Or is it one big one every 3 months while we're having live ops and episodic content developing? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I think we're gonna get it. We're gonna have a chance to find out about that in the future. So
yeah,
it's gonna be important. So they also asked, why is Rune Metrics not a member's benefit? Rune Metrics Pro is not available made to everybody as part of the Premier Club package because it's mainly storage concerns.
Yeah,
which makes sense when you think about it, right? But
yeah,
still,
I mean,
a 50% discount. And,
yeah, I mean.
And here's the big one. Mod Mike said, if anybody has questions, send them along to Twitter, Reddit, or the Discord about monetization.
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you, Mod Mike looked like Rocky in Rocky IV, where he just got the shit knocked out of him, but he gets back up, and then he gives a speech. Like, if you could change, and I could change, and we all could change, Adrian. You know, like he did, man.
Yeah.
He
that was excellent. Just the focus on monetization here. And I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say what we heard this week was more effective than what we heard last week. Granted, there was more information last week, but this was more effective, I feel, because it was coupled with direct action from the Premier Pass.
Well, it's coupled with the direct action, but this is the difference, I think, was they came out, acknowledged the problem, took responsibility for it, told us how they're going to fix it. Boom, boom, boom. There was no bullshit. It didn't feel like there was hemming and hawing. I mean, it was exactly, we know.
And this was another one of those press conference type of streams.
Yeah, no, this was well done. Like, I give them credit. This one was well done. This one was well done. That's all I can say about it. Like, you know, and I'm glad because I did not want to critique another one of those live streams that was like that.
Yeah.
That ain't fun for nobody. Ain't fun for us.
And the best part is they don't need a Sarah Huckabee or Sean Spicer to do it.
Oh, God. Well, they would have just lied to us anyway.
For any of our international listeners, Sarah Huckabee and Sean Spicer were two of the press secretaries working for the current U.S. administration. So
yeah, and Dancing on with the Stars contestant.
Yeah, he got knocked out this week.
Good.
All right. Activity pets were also mentioned in particular. They received a lukewarm reception on social media and Reddit.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah,
with that,
I'm not surprised.
I felt kind of lukewarm about them too.
There's going to be a blog post on Friday that will detail the pet update. Voting highlighted three higher than the others: money making, clues, and area pets.
Okay.
I really wanted my Christmas pet.
Well, yeah, Buddy, don't you?
Buddy?
Yeah, I've got Buddy.
Who's that? Remind me.
He's a little Christmas elf.
Oh, right. Forgot about that one. Okay.
Yeah.
Then there's Sparkles the Snake as well. And they said that one of the core aspect of this is going to be looking at addressing pets that can't be used as overrides and also some quality of life work on pets in general and what could be done to make pets more valuable, and there's two ways they can go with this. They can either do unique bespoke animations for each pet, or they can do more pet overrides with a generic set of animations. Personally, I would lean towards the second one. More pet overrides with a generic set of animations. What about you?
Yeah, that's what I would lean to.
Because
too.
I don't know about you.
You can cover so much more. Yeah. And I'm not watching the little particular things. Like, that just seems like it's wasted effort when it could be... Like, it would be so much better if we just had the pets that, you know, we want to use. Like, okay, I love using the... oh, gosh, what was it? It was like the big cat stuff. Like, I love the big cat stuff and the rhinos and all that. But I rarely use them. They don't have those animations and any of that stuff. I'd much rather see, like, that time going to the stuff that we have like that. You know, so they would all work.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reason for the pet update is that they're looking at working with an outside studio to put certain updates into the can that they can backload if they need them. And my word "into the can" is a term that I use, and I use around the Christmas time here when we're doing the podcast, is I'll say, you know, we have 3 episodes in the can looking forward for when we finish our last episode before the Christmas holidays. So
see, when I say I'm in the can, it has a whole different meaning.
That's right. That's right. But what if the episodes are in the can?
Well, if we need to, we did something wrong.
So I think that's important to note, is that third-party animators and developers are working to bring these pets and cosmetic kind of updates into game. And they said that there's a limit to the amount of updates that can be outsourced because of RuneScript.
Is that something that is hurting the game at this point? Like...
I don't know. I've never written RuneScript, so I can't tell you. But I say that being someone who is proficient in Java and C++.
So was there no
languages out there?
Were there not enough languages when RuneScript started had to write their own?
What happened with that RuneScript is a creation of Andrew Gower. And he created it because he wanted the non-technical people in the companies, namely one of his brothers, to be able to write quests without needing to learn Java. So RuneScript has been around ever since RuneScape 2, and it's just been the internal language that they use to write things.
But no one else can use it.
No, because it's proprietary to Jagex. So they would need to train people and bring them in with all their software and their protocols and whatnot with that.
Right, but you can't use these outside. How are they using the outside people then?
Animators.
Animators don't need to know?
No. No, because in theory, a pet is a lot easier to hook up to the game. If you get the model, you can just bring it in and you don't need to really do much logic associated with it.
Well,
if you were trying to outsource, say, a quest, you could outsource it in terms of the writing and whatnot, which I don't think you would want to do, because the RuneScape writers, Mod Jack and team, have Mod Raven, pretty much Mod Osborne, Needle Skips. Oh,
and it's a particular style. I don't know if you could. I don't think an outside person could come in and match the RuneScape style.
Right. So you could have outside writers, but having people actually write in RuneScript would be hard for a quest or any other kind of piece of content like that. So that's why they're mainly going with cosmetics on that vein.
Well, and it seems like something we hear a lot during, you know, Q&A streams. We always hear that, well, we could do that, but it would take too long in animation, or it costs too much for animation. So is this a way of helping with that? Like, maybe being able to get, you know, a little more that way. That's good then.
Yeah.
And I mean
they're gonna need it if they do Premiere Pass each and every month of 2020.
Right. You know, and I hate to loop this all back. But it's kind of a fact, right, that something's paying the bills for them to be able to do this.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So
I felt really good at this point, and I thought, okay, if we could just stop the stream here, that would be it. But no, there was more.
there was, but it almost felt like two different streams. They were both good.
Yeah.
But they almost felt like two different streams. Yeah.
All right. So moving on to this, they talked a bit about Java and 4% of the player base using it. Doesn't seem fair to restrict NXT for that. Then they're going to be doing a number of focuses on 120 Herblore and 120 Farming. This week was 120 Herblore. Next week is 120 Farming. And they went through everything. Well, not everything, but most everything that you're going to need to know about this. So first and foremost, Elder Overlords and Elder Overload Salves will use Primal Extract, which requires, which comes from Farming 120, Felstock, and Supreme Overloads. And to make the salves, you'll need the exact same thing, plus your anti-fires, your anti-poisons, and pretty much anything to that effect. Anyone who has a salve will only need to use a Felstock and Primal Extract, and these unlock at 106 and 107 Herblore, respectively. And this is the day when my character jumped up and down because I had 417 Felstock seeds stockpiled.
Oh.
And I get on average around 11 or 12 herbs per seed. And they're selling, you know, the G market price says 7K. They were selling for 15K when I sold, but were as high as 20K.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, your PVM types, they're going to have them overloads day one. So
I'm farming Felstock constantly right now.
Which is hilarious because it was the most worthless herb before this. Like, that was great.
And also, you need to remember that there's still going to be people who are training with overloads. So your constituent herbs like the Avantos, the Quorums, the dwarf weeds, the lantatimes, the torstals, all those are still going to be wanted.
Well, they're still needed for, because you have to make your supreme or whatever.
You got to make the supers, then you got to make the extremes, then you got to make the overloads. Then you got to throw more stuff at it to make the supreme overloads. Mm-hmm. So there's still going to be a use for all these along the path. So
yeah. And, it's good for the people that already had the 120 Herblore who literally have, like, 50K overloads in their bank that they'll never be able to use.
I have around, I think, gosh, what is it? I only made 1,300. I did the rest. Everything was sellable. So I'm going to be able to get a good number on day one if I wanted to, but it's going to be fun. Weapon Poison plus will be level 100 Herblore. The Spiritual Prayer Potion is at level 110. It's a combination potion with prayer and summoning. The Primal Feast will be high-level cooking made with cooking potions using primal extracts close to 116 Herblore. Or 116 cooking, rather. That's got to be the level. Maybe I had a typo in there, but somewhere around 116. The Harvest Potion converts your normal crops to mega crops, such as potatoes to sweet potatoes, watermelons to golden watermelons, etc. Charming Potion gives you one extra base charm, and then whatever happens with that, whether doubled is going to happen with it, that's 102 Herblore.
I want it.
The Extreme Prayer is going to be level 117, which is a super prayer potion and a new farming produce item. And as a quality of life fix for this, if you have wyvern bones, you can just crush them in your inventory. You don't need to take them to the ectofunctus to make bone meal.
Thank goodness, man. I hated that process. Yeah. Like, that was the most tedious. Just, ugh.
I agree. Blessed Flask uses the masterwork process that we heard about. Takes a long time to make, and at this point, Mod Raven let out one of his sinister chuckles.
Yeah, you know, the thing with that is, like, I can see a case for using it, but the biggest case would be like the PVM people, right? And will they spend that much time making it? I mean, I don't see that.
I mean, it's gonna take 5,000 harmonic dust, level 118 Herblore, and it's gonna hold around 20 potions worth of prayer.
So I mean, like, but you got to be a skiller to really make it, to want to make it. To put that much, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's no way. I don't see those guys doing it.
And, you know, there's also the case where people who are using brews to heal are going to be using just super restores, and that handles the use case on this.
I wonder if any of these will be tradable. Masterwork's tradable. So, that would be good. I mean, that would be a good ecosystem there, right?
Yeah, it certainly would. Bombs made at 99, 101, and 103 Herblore. 3x3 grid, we saw about these at RuneFest. Poison, Vulnerability, and Sticky Bombs. All ingredients are new, except for Poison Potions and Vulnerability Runes. The benefit of training to 99 to 120 they talked about. New training methods, enhancements to current potions, some new ones like the Charming Potion and Blessed Flasks, and there will be unlocks at every level. There's also going to be new potential ways, which weren't detailed, to modify how you train by either modifying your XP per GP or your XP per hour. No new AFK training method.
See, I thought one really cool thing about this is it shows that for skills that the mechanics work the way that they are, they can go in and add new content.
Yeah.
And take them to 120.
Yeah.
Like, not every 120 has to go through a mining and smithing process. It's just mining and smithing were broken and needed fixed. So they needed new mechanics. But, I mean, Herblore is
fine.
Pretty much what it is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine. So really all they had to do is just add new content.
And, after RuneFest, we saw this because I wrote my ecosystem article.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact you can write an article about an ecosystem that spans two skills proves that they're just fine.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we're seeing these different approaches on how to either redo a skill, enhance a skill, or expand a skill, right? Like, with mining and smithing, they reworked it. With this, they expanded it. With farming, it was kind of this enhancement, because you didn't have to redo the whole thing, but you added the farm and the ranch.
Yeah.
And that was like kind of an addition to the skill. So, I mean, I think we're kind of seeing three roadmaps on how to deal with skills that are in different places in the game. You know, like the oldest ones, some of them need to be redone completely. Where some of them only need added content, or some of them
farming and herblore.
Right. So actually, this made a lot of sense. Farming is kind of like they expanded Herblore. Farming kind of took a middle ground where they expanded it, but they added a new
training method.
Training method,
okay.
Yeah, training methods. That's what we're looking at. So, I mean, I think that's at least that's what I thought of when they were explaining this. I was like, oh, wait a minute. This makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can start looking at the skills and reworks like through that kind of filter. And now you're going, oh, okay, well, this one won't take as long. Now this one's going to take longer. But this one, okay, you know, and then kind of going back and forth with that. So I think that's what we're going to be looking at next year or two.
Mm-hmm. They also talked about Power Burst. They talked about three of these at RuneFest. We have the Power Burst of Overkill, which boosts your adrenaline, gives you 40% adrenaline over 6 seconds. We'll have a cooldown associated with it. Power Burst of Acceleration is for movement, which will give you unlimited surge and bladed dive for 6 seconds. And this is the one we talked about in our RuneFest segment, where they had some hilarious gifs of just the insane speeds of movement that they had. So we'll be seeing this after release. Power Burst of Vitality doubles your hit points for 6 seconds, or rather your base and current HP for 6 seconds.
Okay.
So that would give you an extra, if you're 99, that would give you an extra 9,900 hit points for 6 seconds, I'm guessing. So, I mean, if you're going to take a huge hit.
So if you're going to, yeah, if you need to tank something, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Be just another method, like, what, like your barricade would be on cooldown or something, so you hit this.
Yeah, yeah. Power Burst of Feats. They were very clear to mention that it was F-E-A-T-S, not F-E-E-T-S. For 6 seconds, we'll let you spam summoning special moves with no cost. And there are two skilling ones that they haven't revealed what exactly they're going to do, but they're called the Power Burst of Masterstroke and the Power Burst of Sorcery.
The Power Burst of a Masterstroke, huh? Okay.
I don't know. I think sorcery might have something to do with rune crafting.
I would imagine. It's got to be something like magic,
yeah,
right?
I don't know sorcery. What Masterstroke would be, though.
You sure you don't, Shane?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Why? What are you thinking?
Oh, I think it probably has to... No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not.
All right, fair enough. The skill cape perk, it'll allow you to make 5 overloads at the cost of 4, so effectively a 20% boost.
That's cool.
Yeah. And it'll work with regular overloads, supreme overloads, or elder overloads.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And at the high end, this is what everybody like you and all your friends are wondering, what's the high end herb lore XP rate's going to be? Mm-hmm. Between 2.5 to 3 mil an hour. Base.
Ooh, 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 ooh. Yay.
Now apply this to farming and you see why the farm had to be nerfed.
Huh? Why?
Because you had these kind of rates at sub 120 in the 99s. So.
Well, but we're not talking about farming.
No, we're not. But I'm just saying that's a reason.
But those rates, but we're not getting to.
We're not. No, we're not necessarily getting those rates. But I'm just saying that if a similar trend holds and we see the XP per hour shoot up with farming, that's something you can expect to see is higher rates with that. But
I know, Shane, but you totally blundered into a can of worms because they didn't nerf herb lore. So wouldn't they have nerfed herb lore if that needed to happen?
I don't know. What's the top herb lore XP rate right now? I don't know that offhand.
I don't know it normally. I know double XP rates because that's the only time
okay.
I was messing with herb lore.
All right, fair enough. Well, that's pretty much
it's cool.
2 live streams all in one there. And
yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, this one was, it's nice when you can be optimistic sometimes. And this one was definitely one I walked away going, oh, I feel a lot better. I feel a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was good. Which, definitely. You know, I was expecting that the week prior. So, this, what a roller coaster we've been on since August, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Hopefully it ends. Hopefully
yeah.
it ends. I think it will.
There's been a lot of highs and some lows.
Alrighty. That's pretty much it for RS news this week. We don't have any questions this week, so we'll go straight into tech news in just a moment, but I will mention our Patreon page, which you can find at patreon.com/rsbnb. And this week, I'd in particular like to thank Brock H., Cameron, Cass, Christian S., Darren L., Diana, Jason S., Kyle, Logan H., Rippeth, Sam W., The Naked Captain, Tom V., and Zez. Thank you all of you for your support of RSBNB Update. It truly does mean the world to us. And in case you're wondering what we're talking about, you can find all this and more at patreon.com/RSBNB, and you can sign up to become a Patreon member there for as little as $1 a month. And for that, you get a special mention in our show notes, early access to the show notes, and you, of course, help fund the cost of hosting and production of RSBNB Update. For $3 a month, you get a special VIP rank on our Discord, a special mention at the start of the month, and access to high-quality stereo AAC versions of the show. And for $5 a month, you get a shout-out every week and gain exclusive access to the outtakes that we use for the clip show at the end of the year, which is indeed coming close. And, you know, we had just had another great monthly bit last week about game development. Which,
that one was cool.
I mean, it was really illuminating, right? Because you're a gamer, you probably didn't know too much about how games are made. And we had Sirion on, who's published a game on Steam. knows how the game industry works. And of course, this community is indeed based around a game, so it made sense to talk about. And we talked about everything from how you can get started, what it's like, the benefits of publishing with a company or going indie, and all of that. And how it truly comes down to passioning being a creative endeavor. You can, it sounds interesting to you, you can sign up and listen to it and gain access to the entire back catalog for as little as $1 a month. We'll also be doing our roundtable on Double XP Weekend in the RSVNB Discord. We'll have a chat about anything and everything RuneScape related. And of course, Inside RSVNB Update is this month is going to be a special live stream on the week for Patreon supporters, where I have a look at the new 120 Herblore and 120 Farming updates. So you guys will get to have a first look at that with us. And should we reach that $99 a month tier, we'll be doing movie night in the RSVNB Discord, where we'll probably watch some Star Trek along the way. So all of that
and the Mandalorian.
I'm sorry, what is that?
I said and the Mandalorian.
That's a Back to the Future reference, right?
No, that's the new Star Wars show, Shane.
Oh, okay. All right, fair enough. But if you want to be a part of that, and you want to be a part of any of these other things, patreon.com/RSBNB. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
All right. So, Facebook, in the news again.
Again.
This time, for people who have the Facebook app on iOS, it turns out
this one's scary.
That Facebook is activating iOS users' cameras when they're not taking a picture. So what's happening with this is that when you're scrolling through your Facebook feed, if you swipe to the left or swipe to the right, you can see the camera showing what exactly your camera is seeing right behind it. And it's using the camera when it's not supposed to be. And, you know,
I always feel like somebody's watching me.
Yeah. And I mean, if you look at the video here, you can see that you can see the guy's carpet right behind the videos and the posts that are playing, which is really, really disturbing.
Yeah. That's kind of bad.
It's been found on iOS devices running iOS 13. Apparently not able to be reproduced on iOS 12. But at this point, pretty much everybody using iOS is indeed on iOS 13 if their phone can support it. And he said he's not sure if it was expected behavior or just a bug. But Facebook, in their response, did say that no, this is not supposed to happen. It's a bug where they said the iOS app incorrectly launched in landscape. In fixing that last week in version 2.4.6, Facebook inadvertently introduced a bug where the app partially navigates to the camera screen when a photo is tapped. And this was responded to by Facebook VP of Integrity.
Well, that could be... You can find yourself in some compromising positions that you don't want your camera to just turn on, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and how many people are on their phones while they're taking a dump?
And the question is, with this, was the data from the camera going anywhere?
Well, it's Facebook. Of course it was.
And also, remember, it's not just a camera. It could potentially also be sending audio.
Yeah. So I would go into my apps and turn off access to my microphone and camera
for
Facebook, period. And they cannot be trusted. Turn it off.
You know, one thing I always tell people to do is whether it's, you know, Facebook or Instagram. Well, maybe not Instagram because that's the whole point of it. But just take just take your pictures on your phone with the camera app. And if you want to share them to a picture sharing website, upload the picture. Let it access your camera roll. Don't let it access the actual camera itself.
Yeah. It doesn't have any reason to be in your camera unless you're live streaming.
Yeah.
I mean,
or taking a picture
reason.
And directly uploading to your album.
Yeah, like you said, though, that should just you should just use your camera for that.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, this, I guess, just goes to what we always say regarding Facebook, is that if you put something online, it's going to stay online. And if you put something on Facebook, it becomes part of the data collection.
Yeah, but I mean, this becomes something that you didn't put on. You had your phone sitting on the nightstand, and God knows what your camera turned on and saw.
Yeah.
All right, I mean, that's just...
If you want to disable camera use for any app on iOS, you go to Settings, Privacy, Camera, then you can turn it off for any app out there. And, you know, the ones I see on here is all the augmented reality apps, the Google Authenticator for, of course, scanning QR codes, Discord for taking pictures with it directly, Google for scanning things, Hangouts, and, you know, most of them are fairly innocuous, but if you want to control that, you can do that right there and change your privacy settings on that. So it's...
Yeah, well, there are other companies that haven't had the problems that Facebook has, so it's like, it's just... You just can't trust them right now.
Yeah, definitely. So this is more of a warning than just for privacy in general, I feel, because chances are by the time you're hearing this, it'll be fixed.
Yeah, I mean, think about, like I take my phone, like, I figure a lot of people do this. Don't take your phone so you can listen to music while you're in the shower and stuff? Like,
sure.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I mean...
And I mean, Apple makes a big deal about the modern iPhones being waterproof, so moisture in the bathroom's no problem for them.
No, yeah, you just set it on your little shelf, and you turn on your YouTube music, and you know you're good to go.
Mm-hmm. No. All right. Next up, Google announced additional steps to safeguard web browsers' privacy in regards to Google Ads. And, you know, this is something that many people probably aren't aware of, is that whenever you see a Google ad on the internet, it, of course, broadcasts back the URL for the page where the ad is. And what happens when ads are sold in this day and age, they use a technology called real-time bidding that allows all publishers to sell ad impressions in real time. And they say this funds a variety of content, such as online journalism, videos, and music. And what they're doing with this is that in terms of publishers, they require publishers to obtain consent from users to serve personalized ads on Google. And they apply data minimization practices to ensure that the scope of data shared is including the truncated IP address, so only the first couple blocks of it, and only using the user resettable ID. So if you want to wipe all your tracking info, you can do that. So they're saying they're going to take this one step further. And with this, in particular, cases that came out of Ireland in terms of data protection, they decided that starting in February 2020, they will no longer include contextual content categories in the bid requests that they send to ad buyers. So what this means is that the content categories are effectively descriptions of the type of content on the web page. So the example given is that whether the content is about the news that you're viewing or perhaps it's a weather forecast and are intended to show contextual information to advertisers about the site or app where the impression may happen so that they can help advertisers avoid showing ads in certain types of content that aren't suitable for their brands. And that's going away. Now, there's one potential downside of this. You remember back in the day when a bunch of high-end brands were using their YouTube ads and they appeared on various, say, let's just say, extremist content on YouTube?
Mm-hmm. The Adpocalypse.
Yeah, the Adpocalypse. Publishers won't be able to prevent that from happening with this going away. Because they won't be able to tell what kind of page it's on.
Well, then this will be short-lived.
Yeah, and I mean,
it's only going to take one problem, and
it's going to be like, short-lived. You know, you and I probably feel this is a good thing for users at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Limit the content and effectively make the ad business more blind.
Yeah.
But you're going to have some huge company out there who's going to say, oh, no, 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 we don't want our content appearing on X type of page. We can't do this. We're not using Google as a service.
Yeah. I was surprised when you started talking about the story, just because it's like...
It doesn't seem like something... It's not something you'd think Google would do.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. So, yeah, I hope they don't get kicked in the teeth for it, but they probably will.
And they say, we already prohibit advertisers to use the Google services to build user profiles around sensitive categories. This change will help avoid the risk that any participant in our auctions is able to use and associate individual ad identifiers with Google's contextual content categories. Which, if you read that sentence right there, that's all Facebook stands for.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see the difference squaring up between Google and Facebook in terms of information that's out there. And I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see what this does for quality of ads. I can already tell you guys that the money that advertising brings in compared today to back in 2005 is entirely different. And that's why we run the Patreon page here at RSB and B Update, because that's the best way to support the podcast. So, I mean, at this point, I'll just say that ads are, you know, constantly ever evolving, and even YouTubers have been saying it's even harder to make money off their videos recently because of changes to ads. So this could be another change in that direction, and we're going to need to be watching out for. And that's why it's important to support small creators that you enjoy consuming content from directly, and we're glad that Patreon allows that to happen. So
yeah, for sure.
So this kind of is a story for the health of the internet, but also a story for us, because yeah, it affects us, and of course why we do Patreon.
Yeah, we're on the internet, so yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of our thing, right?
Indeed. All right, this next one's for you. Project Stadia has announced 12 games that they're going to be starting off with.
Yeah, so this one was kind of a cool surprise. For a long time, I've been struggling with, like, what is the case use for Stadia? You know, it's like, because you got to buy the game and the system. It's like, ugh, that doesn't sound like a streaming service. But I think we got our case study for it, right? Our best case use scenario type this week.
Yeah.
Because they're launching with Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah, other ones include Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Destiny 2, Dance 2020, Mortal Kombat 2, Samurai Showdown, a bunch of Tomb Raider games as well, just to name a few of them, as well as 14 more expected to launch by the end of 2020. And, you know, this goes back to your pick of the week last week with Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we went through the recommended requirements. It was a 1060 with 12 gigs of RAM and around 150 gigs of hard drive space, which you might not have.
You might not, and that's still like a, I would say, more of a middle of the road type of experience.
Right.
You're not gonna have your stuff turned up, you know, to uber awesome, like okay. That is enough for you to totally love every part of the game and be amazed. But if you can turn it up even higher, that's when you're going, oh my God.
Right. And now compare this if you're playing it on Stadia. To get 60 FPS with stereo sound and 720p, you need a 10 megabit per second internet connection. But
that's just incredible.
If you want 1080p, 60 FPS, surround sound, HDR video, 20 megabits.
Still nothing, dude.
And if you want 4K, 35 megabits. 60 FPS, 4K. And the only system out there right now that can play games without skipping a beat at 60 FPS 4K is the Xbox One X.
Mm-hmm. Which was designed to do that with that in mind.
Yeah.
So this is like, right here, I guess, is the reason for Stadia.
Yeah.
I mean, and I was thinking about it this way too. Okay, so Stadia probably costs, what, a couple hundred dollars maybe?
Let me go to the Stadia website now.
It's not, I don't think it's real super expensive.
No, it's not.
So, like, if you say you know you need a new PC, right?
Yeah.
But you can't afford it that year, you might be able to afford a Stadia to get you by for the next, like, year so you can play the games you want to play while you're saving up for your big PC build. Because, I mean, come on, when you're doing a PC build, you go balls to the wall.
Yeah.
I mean, you just do.
And, you know, if I was building a PC today, I would build... See, I'm of two schools of thought. When you're talking about PC gaming, you can either go 4K, or you can go for a higher FPS monitor, like 120 or 144 FPS. But consider that most times you're playing a video game, you're sitting, you know, less than 2 feet away from your monitor, right? And it's usually a 24 or 27-inch monitor. At that point, you really don't need 4K. Looking at the math behind this, and I was helping someone out with a TV purchase not too long ago, to benefit from 4K, you need to have something obscene like a 55-inch display and being sitting 6 feet away from it. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's not necessary.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? So
I've never been into 4K just because it actually makes things way harder for me to see.
Right. So Ultra HD. So let's just say you have a 27-inch computer monitor, right?
Mm-hmm.
For that to be worth it, you need to be sitting about you know, 1.5 feet away from it, though. And I don't know about you guys, but that's probably about the distance I'm sitting at. But if you're sitting further, it becomes a question of if it's really worth it, right?
Right.
So, just looking at the numbers here, it stops becoming worth it if you're at around a 32-inch display, or you're sitting at about 2.5 feet with 20 inches. So it might be worth it depending on how you go for 4K. But it's a question, do you want 4K or do you want higher FPS?
Yeah.
So that's what you consider when you're building a computer. And in this day and age, there's not many video cards out there that can play all the games at 4K. You're looking at something like an NVIDIA GTX 1080 at the minimum, which are still super expensive, which are probably on the order of 5 or 6 times the price of the Stadia. And just looking at this right now, $169 Canadian for Stadia. That includes all the hardware you need and the controller and the Chromecast Ultra.
Right. Now remember, you'll have to buy the game. But still, like I said, that's a good bridge if you need a bridge between your builds, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, if you wanted to connect it up to your TV, this is 4K gaming.
Oh yeah, I mean, if you got a 4K TV and you're into,
but you're going to be paying $12 a month for it.
Yeah.
So. And based on this, you see what the use case is. Is that if you don't have a good PC, or you don't want to buy an Xbox, but you want to play some of these games that are on Stadia, there you go. $12 a month and $170 Canadian investment or less. Other games includes Borderlands 3, Destroy All Humans, Doom, Final Fantasy 15, Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon, Marvel's Avengers, Red Dead Redemption 2, we already talked about. So there's tons of games on here already that you'll be able to benefit.
And good ones. Mm-hmm. Like those are good titles.
And all of it for 4K. Uh-huh. All of it at 4K 5.1 surround. So
see, that would also be it. See, and that's also another one that Yeah, I mean, it is good as a like a TV kind of gaming system. We can sit on your couch if you want.
Yeah, they say that they're the systems that stream the game to you are running custom x86 processors at 2.7 gigahertz, a custom AMD GPU with 10.7 teraflops of compute power, 16 gigs of RAM shared between CPU and GPU, and SSD cloud storage.
Damn.
So the question for this is going to be is how is it going to work in terms of internet latency and what's going to happen if the service becomes heavily used? Will performance suffer? So
I don't know. I can't see it being overly used.
Yeah.
I mean,
like, you're also looking at 15 gigabytes per hour if you're streaming at 4K of internet bandwidth.
Okay.
So you're
well, you might not want to do 4K.
Yeah, you're going to need an unlimited. You're going to need an unlimited internet connection.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of a lot.
But we got the info on it, and it's launching on November 19th, so it's coming quick.
Yeah, you know what? Get on your horse and ride, son. We'll see you out there on the range.
Yeah, Red Dead would be an excellent,
God,
an excellent
so good,
case
Shane.
Study for it. Yeah,
so good.
All right, let's move on to our achievements of the week. We only have three of them this week, so I'll just run through them. First up, 82nd Airborne got 200 million farming XP on November 13th. Gwaxac got 99 smithing on November 11th, and Grime Times, that's an interesting name, got 99 magic on November 7th. Nicely done, everyone. Nicely done.
Nice. 82nd Airborne. I like that.
Yeah,
Friend's
me too.
Dad was in the 82nd
Airborne. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I believe this guy actually was. He's a longtime member of Clan Quest. So.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. All right. Pick of the week time. And I got a game. This game might not be for everyone. Because it is, the best way of putting this is that it involves something that is akin to a visual and spatial acuity test. So, let's just say that you're back in geometry class, right? And you're being asked, okay, so this is a cube. We all know what a cube looks like, right? But what does a cube look like if it's projected onto a 2D space? That's something...
Square.
No, it's six squares when you fold it out, right? So this game, you can either say, what does it look like if you have a cube and I shine the light on the series of cubes? Or what does it look like when it's folded out? And you can build this path in order to effectively complete all the shapes that are around. And that's what the whole point of it is. It's called Project. It's available on iOS, Android, Steam, of all things. And, you know, this is something I think that many people would find interesting, but might also find annoying at the same time, just because it feels like a test, which, you know, if I'm going to be completely honest with you, is something that you might not want to take part in. But it's a fun little thing to do because it kind of forces your mind to think or to pivot back between thinking in the 3D space and thinking in the 2D space as well. So It's something that I enjoy just messing around with from time to time. It's called Project. It's spelled P-R-O-J-E-K-T. And it's available on iOS, Steam, Android, and pretty much every other platform out there. It's got augmented reality mode for iOS. So if you want to see what it looks like on your coffee table, you can do that. They also got iPad version, Apple TV version, and the like. So you could play it on the big screen if you really wanted to. So it's called Project. Once again, available on iOS, Android, and Steam. And the whole point of it is that it's a different way of thinking of a puzzle in that maybe, you know, normally we think in the 2D world, right? But
yeah.
Or the 3D world. But what exactly does this shape look like if you make it 2D, right?
Yeah, I mean, you already see that I didn't make the connection.
Yeah. So it gives you a 2D shape, and you need to make that with 3D blocks.
Okay.
Which, when you think about it, oh boy.
It's hard.
It is hard.
That sounds really hard.
And it's something I think that you're going to mess around with only if you're interested in this kind of thing, and that's why it's a bit of an interesting pick of the week, and you do need to do some creative thinking with it. So, project. Yeah. That's the pick of the week.
Cool. And
I don't know. It's a fun little thing. There's numerous levels to it, numerous chapters. You can turn on night mode. You can pay to have ads removed, and it supports all the normal creature comforts that you would expect from an iOS game. So, project. You can find the link in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com.
Is it a free game, Shane?
I think I got it for free, but the price for me is showing $1.29.
Oh, okay. Well, that's still pretty cheap.
So, I mean, free enough, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, and, you know, some of the reviews say this is the best $2 that I've ever spent, and it's got 3,900 ratings with an average of 4.7 out of 5.
Damn. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool.
All right. What have you been up to on RS?
So I have been thieving. I know, it's like, where did that come from, right? But I was actually looking around to see, okay, what am I going to do for the DXP time? And I have like a couple skills that I'm only 30-ish mil away from 120s. Like one I only have 10, one I have 30. Anyway, thieving is one of those, and so I thought, with Herblore coming out, I'm going to start thieving and collecting super, you know, attacks and defenses and all that stuff, because you get them when you're thieving. So,
yeah, but not that many. Is it enough to make an impact?
Well, if you're thieving for hours and Prif, I mean, you know, it's pretty low impact, and yeah, I mean... Yeah, I mean, that's what I was doing. But that is, like I said, it's basically just because I counted up. Like, if I were to finish off the thieving and summoning, I'd have, like, 9 120s. So, it's pretty good. I'm getting up there, right? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So, yeah, that's what I was doing.
Okay. You know.
How about yourself, Shane?
Well, this week is a very... important week in history, because last Saturday, November 9th, marked ClanQuest's 10-year anniversary. So we had a number of events happening in-game and, you know, cabbage bombings, amongst other things, a little drop party here and there, and there was even a real-life meetup hosted in Ohio by Draz with a number of people attending it. So this week, I'm just going to say that it's happy birthday to ClanQuest 10 years ago. And, you know, as current head of RS Guild Council, it's an absolutely amazing organization to have a part in leading. And, you know, I think of all the members that we brought in over all the years. And I'll just say that, you know, if you're ever considering changing your clan, or if you're looking for somewhere to hang out with a group of casual yet at the same time RuneScape players who know everything about the game, ClanQuest is the place to be. And most of the people, and pretty much I'd say 99% of the people in the group, are very, very nice and will help you with any question if you have it. So once again, I'll just say check us out at ClanQuest. That's the name of the clan chat that you can guest in, and following that, check us out on our recruitment thread if you want to join, and we'll get you in there. So 10 years of ClanQuest, that's a big milestone. So
wow,
very happy birthday to that group. It's thrived and flourished recently. But aside from that, you know, lots of farming. Lots of herb farming. Yeah, that's
like you do.
Yeah, that's very fun with the changes that were made, or rather the announcements to Fellstock this week. But Quorum is also good. And, you know, I should have enough to get me through the end of the month. As I mentioned, I found that I had 417 Fellstock seeds just waiting. And, you know, those are dropped like candy. I forget what Slayer creature dropped them.
whatever it was. I never picked them up because they weren't worth nothing.
I know, and I just picked them up anyways because, I mean, why not, right?
Yeah.
But I never planted them because they just were never worth planting, right? So.
No, the only time I ever did it was on my way to 99 because they were the best herb XP.
Yeah, but now there is a reason for that. But aside from that, been doing daily runs of the three top dinosaurs in Big Game Hunter, still trying to get one of those eggs before 120 Herblore or 120 Farming and Ranch out of Timelands. And I don't know if I'm going to. They seem more rare at the Big Game Hunter dinosaurs than they were at the Jadinkos.
That's sad because those are pretty damn rare to begin with.
Yeah. And we'll see how rare they are on launch day. I remember our discussion when the Player Owned Farm came out, how much time you and I spent trying to get dragon eggs.
Oh, man. Oh, man. I won't do it again. I won't do that again. I will spend my time making money and then buy one.
Yeah, I think that's the way I'm going to probably go, too, if I don't get one before then. But aside from that, we just finished producing the monthly bit, working on a couple of other show ideas, and soon it's going to be time to start thinking about what we're doing for year end. And I mentioned that to you guys that that's going to be the next project after first project is out of the way. So it should be an interesting time going forward, especially with the new content coming out. So I think that pretty much wraps up this episode of RSBNB Update.
Yep, that's all I got.
All righty. If you guys want to join us in game, you can find us at Friends Chat, Bits Bytes. And if you want to subscribe to us and any number of podcast listeners out there, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, YouTube, practically anything under the sun. Just go to update.rsbnb.com/subscribe. And we'll see you guys next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. Take care, everyone.
See ya.